going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I am your host, Sean Kane, and we are looking at a Wednesday slate, a beauty of a main slate, really nice, actually, kind of, you know, one, it's a Chris Sale slate, and then you got everybody else, and there's some really nice bats and some really good spots. If you're playing the all-day slate, I don't have a lot of takes for you on the all-day slate, unfortunately, but it's actually pretty nice as well. I'm definitely interested in Oakland and Miami, where that game was a shootout last night. Those pitching staffs really aren't getting it done, and you got a lot of guys who are getting the barrel on the ball, so have some interest in Oakland for sure against Edinson Volquez, and Sonny Gray is actually a heavy favorite in that game. But don't sleep on this White Sox Diamondbacks game. Quintana should be able to get it done, but the Diamondbacks are red hot here, and of course the Indians seem to be heating up, although we got some rain in that forecast there. And I'll be very interested to see what Jose Berrios does in his second full start or third full start this season against the O's. You know, all that said, it was a good night last night. Before I go too far, I want to remind you guys, if you're interested in subscribing to the cheat sheet, patreon.com/lineuplogic, we're talking takes, we're building our own lines. Yeah, you know, I like lineup providers. Those guys work hard, but I think part of the fun of DFS for guys like me is learning, taking chance, putting my own neck out there, building my own lineups, and, you know, making sure that, you know, I'm not letting somebody else do all the heavy lifting for me. So I love the community we have over there. Patreon.com/lineuplogic, adding new guys all the time, talking about takes, you know, ideas for different lineups, things like that. So certainly a fun space to be, and only $10 a month. You get the cheat sheet. You get to be a part of the Slack community. All that good stuff. If you haven't done it already, also please review the podcast. Subscribe. It really helps us. You know, I mean, if you didn't listen to this show during basketball season, it's just me. I am with the help of Josh, Ryan, and Scott. Basically, the Lineup Logic crew. We're not roto anything massive subscription model. This is a bunch of guys who love fantasy sports who, you know, do this in addition to our real lives. So any support that you can offer, even if it's just a 5-star review, is very, very welcome and very, very appreciated. So get over there to iTunes, throw a 5-star review out there, help other people find the show and enjoy what you are already enjoying. But let's not go too much further before we look back at the results from last night. All right, so last night, not bad at all. It was interesting because the bottom line was, once again, the top arm on the slate being Kershaw goes ham. Now, my second best arm was Lester, and I'm super, super mad at myself for not being able to stick with Lester. I got scared off by the weather. You know, no joke, I got scared off by the weather. Excuse me. And very, very, you know, just kind of nervous. Didn't really trust what was going to happen there in that situation. But ended up with, you know, one of my favorite lines was combining the Rockies and a few Diamondbacks. And then I punted my shortstop and my second baseman, and it worked out really, really well. That line hit 209. Threw me in the quins, which was really nice. Good stuff. And that was basically an all-Rockies outfield, and Blackman, Parr, and Gonzalez, who were just, I mean, you know, Parr and Gonzalez really, really, their prices helped you get to Charlie Blackman. You know, even that pricing out. And, you know, it was 146 plus Tony Walters, my man, in the 8-hole, who continues to play just very solid numbers for punt catcher. Now, do I wish I had Chris Herrmann? Yeah, he went yard, but Tony Walters went for 9 points and Herrmann went for 18. So, and then I had Goldie and Jake Lamb, who obviously in the first inning immediately paid off their prices and then did pretty much nothing else. You know, it was interesting. The Arizona was chalky. They were super duper chalky and they kind of let everybody down. And, you know, you had much bigger numbers once again from teams that were a little bit lower owned, like Boston. And I punted with Devin Marrero, the shortstop there, min price shortstop, very low owned. But Boston turned that lineup over so many damn times that Marrero scored two runs and got on base a couple times. So that was really nice. And then that Miami-Oakland game was so under-owned. It was insane. I had we have to pay attention to these ownerships, because in one of my lines, I had Justin Bour, who, I'm not kidding, in the quintuple up, he was owned at 0.6%. Justin Bour, one of the hottest hitters in baseball. Yes, he's in the seven hole, but he is one of the hottest hitters against righties in baseball. He is up at the top of the Statcast leaderboard. He hits four hits. He has two singles, a double, and a dinger. He scores four runs in what is a 20-run game. And I paired him with Ozuna, who, you know, a double, an RBI double and a run there. So he had a nice game as well. You know, fine, and not exceptional. My point is that, you know, a lot of outlets are going to pay attention to the really, really obvious spots, and people are going to play the really obvious spots. You have to try to get a little bit of leverage on the field, and whether that's a pair of batters, like Justin Bour and Marcelo Ozuna, you have leverage. The lower half of that Houston lineup in Centeno, and I had, you know, Centeno and Yuli Gurriel in a couple spots. Francisco Lindor was, you know, a lot of people actually were interested in the Cleveland lineup as well. But, you know, I think that it's, we continue to see that it's worth taking chances on bats to gain leverage, because the runs are going to come in games that you don't expect. You know, last night, I don't think anyone expected that we were going to have 17 runs in the Boston-Texas game, 10 runs in the Colorado-Philly game, and 20 runs in the Miami-Oakland game. You know, whereas ownership really, really was all over teams like the Cubs, who only scored four runs. Well, not quite the Cubs. The ownership was all over teams like the Dodgers. You know, I was part of that. I love the Dodgers, but they only scored two runs last night against Lance Lynn. He pitched a gem. Obviously Arizona, who only scored five runs. Finding that ownership leverage is so important on these five-game slates. And I think, you know, Josh Fernandez always reminds me, you hedge, and then you hit. And that's a really smart way to play a high-variance sport like baseball. Hedge, hit. That's kind of your idea, right? And that's kind of what I did last night. I've been hitting one of my lines pretty much every night that we build is hitting 200, 190. Obviously I have some real crappers. You take some chances and you build that range of outcomes, and, you know, you hedge a little bit and it works out. It works out. I think that's kind of one of the ways to play the baseball game here strategically. Really pleased to see some of the results from some of the guys shouting me out on Twitter as well. You know, some people just straight up rolled the show lineup, which, you know, I don't always recommend, but definitely is something you can do. That show lineup hit hard, and I'm not gonna lie, it hit 192, and it really, really, really worked out well, which was great to see from, you know, guys like Charles and Colt Strong. That was really nice. KL Dog, another faithful listener to the pod, hanging in there, getting back on top. Good to see you back out there, Kenny. It was a lot of really good stuff. And Wendy, thank you for reaching out. I really appreciate that on DK. Just crushed. Really, really nice. Really nice stuff from Wendy on DK. That was a great lineup there to see from her as well. So, awesome stuff, guys. I mean, keep the results coming. Please keep the reviews coming. It really helps the show. All right, let's move on to tonight, and let's go ahead and take a look at the games and matchups that we have this evening on tonight's slate. All right, so we're starting the evening. There's a number of afternoon games, but we're starting the evening in Nationals Park in D.C., 9.5 runs projected here. Sam Gaviglio goes up against Tanner Roark. I totally overlooked the Nationals. Bergman didn't have a ton of data, and I just didn't quite dive deep enough into it, and I apologize for that. I should have probably looked into this one. Certainly a spot to take advantage of a young pitcher like Aviglio. Now, Vegas likes Roark in this spot. He is a favorite. It'd be interesting to see if he gets blown up again or if he settles back down to earth and kind of does his Tanner Roark thing of, you know, managing the game and limiting the contact. So that's kind of what he does. Nothing extraordinary, but he's serviceable. Mariners have Robbie Cano back in the lineup, so that's something to keep an eye on. There's certainly not going to be as much protection in that lineup, not as much, you know, safety in that lineup in attacking them. So definitely have some interest in Mariners for leverage, but the Nationals should be able to get to Aviglio here. Bryce Harper and Daniel Murphy know how to hit pretty much everybody, and a young guy like this probably will struggle. Rockies-Phillies, this series continues. 8.5 runs projected here. Tyler Chatwood is a favorite against Jeremy Hellickson. Makes sense. Rockies are hitting righties. I know that people say maybe they don't hit righties. It's not true. Charlie Blackmon alone will make this team go. And Cargo doing work. Nolan Arenado, obviously we know, can hit righties as well. So we're stacking the Rockies again here in Citizens Bank. No problem with that. A pretty nice night. You know, no serious weather going to be having here. But it should be a good game. I think another opportunity. People will probably go back to the Rockies here. Maybe they'll go back to Hellickson, given, you know, that strong start that he just had against Pittsburgh. But not me. I'm interested in some Rockies for sure. They've been really good to me on this road trip, and I'm going to keep working with them, all the way through, as long as they have these weak Philly starters and these weak bullpens that they're playing against. Royals-Yankees, 8.5 runs projected here, and Luis Severino is one of the heaviest favorites on the slate versus Jason Hamill. This should be a really nice night for the Yankees bats, who have kind of been cold, you know, considering what they're capable of, a little bit cold, but they're certainly in play tonight against Hamill, who just hasn't been getting it done. Padres-Mets, this is an interesting matchup. Cozart versus Gieselman tells you a lot if you've got a 9-run total in Citi Field. And it's probably the quality of the pitching here. Cozart, while he's a great ground ball pitcher, just cannot control the ball. Too many walks. And Zelman actually due for some regression. We're going to talk about him on the pod here. I think he could be in an interesting spot. He's not going to, you know, get you 10 Ks or anything, but the guy has better stuff, I think, than what his recent statistics indicate. 8.5 runs projected in the trop, Ricky Nolasco versus Erasmo Ramirez. Ramirez favored in this one versus Nolasco, and Ramirez has had some flashes here, some interesting stuff from him recently in his first start against the Yankees, went 5 innings, 5 Ks. I'll talk about him later. Definitely interested in the Rays bats. Obviously, you guys know that I love the Rays, but Mike Trout is a problem for anybody right now. The dude is just smashing. Joe Metz tweeted out earlier from the Fan Forecast account that to this point in his career, he has almost the same slash line as Mickey Mantle. How cool is that? I mean, that's just really cool. Mike Trout, good for baseball. Love the guy. Never once watched him and been unimpressed. Just he's great, man. I love that dude. Texas Rangers, Red Sox, 8.5 runs projected here. Martin Perez versus Chris Sale, and no surprise here, Chris Sale is the heaviest favorite on the slate. Just a filthy 245 favorite. Vegas gives no love to the Rangers against the lefty, and they don't deserve any love against the lefty here, but the Red Sox definitely deserve some love against Martin Perez, who has been underwhelming at best. So this game is a Red Sox-friendly outing here in Fenway Park. They have been playing very well, so definitely some interest in the Red Sox again tonight. Pirates-Braves, 9.5 runs projected here. They are going to be the victims of rain again, as I was this morning in this region, and my fucking basement was flooding like a mother right as I sat down to do notes. It is raining so much down here. It is crazy. But man, my lawn looks great. Lawn looks great. So green. I got to mow it this weekend. Anyway, all right, enough about the rain and the weather in the Smoky Mountains. 9.5 runs projected for the Braves. Trevor Williams versus Julio Teheran. These guys aren't good, and Vegas is telling you that. That is a huge total for SunTrust. You know, this is a kind of a neutral park. But the ball can definitely leave, and Matt Adams has been showing that it can leave, and it's going to be you know, a nice night, wind blowing out just a touch, a little bit of rain, not quite as bad as it was, and it's going to be raining during the day, which is the problem, but they know that, so they'll hopefully keep it covered. So definitely interested in some cheapies in both of these spots, just cheap first baseman, really. I mean, between Matt Adams and Josh Bell, cheap first baseman. Giants Cubbies, Matt Moore and Kyle Hendricks here. Wind is blowing in at Wrigley. It's 52 degrees, almost exact opposite of what it was last week when it was 80 and blowing out in that Cincinnati series. So a little bit of rain in the forecast. And God, why didn't I start Lester? Guys, he went 9 innings. He had 10 Ks. I just couldn't do it because I thought for sure, I mean, they delayed the start. There was no one in the stands. The weather was terrible. And then they, sure enough, the weather just kind of, the rain just kind of scattered. Lester went out there, just diced up the Giants. I like Hendricks again in this spot. He seems to be regaining a lot of his control. He's had some really good outings. He should get plenty of run support in this one. Hasn't had less than 30 fantasy points in his last five starts. Hasn't pitched less than six innings. Oh, I'm sorry. He went five innings in his Yankee game. You know, just showing that control, that elite level of control again. The numbers are certainly there in his favor. So Kyle Hendricks in an interesting spot as well. I like the guy. I like the way he works. So I have some interest in him. Tigers, Astros, Daniel Norris versus Charlie Morton. And this may be the spot where the wheels kind of come off for Charlie Morton. I got to be honest with you. He has been excellent from a fantasy perspective. Yes. The Ks are there. Yes. Detroit is a hard-hitting team. I'm going to say if you have an interest in Charlie Morton, pump the brakes. But I think the Astros offense, however, is very much in play. Daniel Norris gives up way too much hard contact, and the Astros have too many hard-hitting righties for Norris to survive this one. I know we said that last night against Jordan Zimmermann. I think not having Correa in the lineup hurt them, and I think if we don't get Correa in there again, let's be a little bit more cautious with our exposures. But we did see the power. I mean, Yuli goes yard, Centeno goes yard, you know, and it, you know, Josh Reddick put up points, so it's there. Cardinals, Dodgers, this series finishing off here. 7.5 runs projected. Rich Hill, a heavy favorite against Mike Leake. You know, this game was kind of underwhelming last night. I got to be honest with you. Very disappointing to have those Dodgers lefties just kind of. So, you know, not a ton of interest for me in this one. You know, Rich Hill is very interesting, but he's only getting about 5 innings because of those stupid blisters. There's an article on Fangraphs recently that's like, we can blame Rich Hill's blisters on his curveball. And I mean, that's why he's so good, because he's got a filthy curveball, but he also, what's costing him days on the DL. So, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. I don't know what you do. I think if you're the Dodgers, you just do exactly what they do. They don't let him pitch deep into games so that he doesn't hurt his finger. And then you give them time, and that's what they do with all their pitchers. They're very smart about it. So anyway, all right, that is it for the games tonight. So I've got my man Joe Metz on here for the breakdown here with the player breakdown. So let's jump into the player breakdown and figure out who we love on this Wednesday main slate. Who do you love? All right, we're jumping into the player breakdown. And on Wednesday, of course, I have my man Joe Metz from Fantasy Forecast here. Joe, how are you, my friend?
Doing well. Ready for this slate? Pitching's a little opposite of last night, so.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. There's, I mean, obviously, you know, Chris Sale, pretty solid. But then you don't have this, like, kind of second tier of 9, 10K pitchers that you really trust. I mean, there's a couple names here, and we'll talk about them, but you're absolutely right. And it's interesting, you know, we were just talking about this, and I talk about it on the podcast. I mean, it seems like lately you're boiling it down to one or two really high-quality arms on every single slate who are really going to perform. Last night, Kershaw, Lester threw a gem. And if you really want that security, those are the guys that, that you got to have. Are you feeling the same way these days, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard you talk about it on the pod, and it's something I've been feeling for a while. You can't bank on a value pitcher, because that means you have to bank on bats, and there is just way too much variance in bats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pay up for Zach Greinke the other night when he had 69. Get that safety blanket, and then you can bank on some cheap bats. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, a value bat has almost a similar chance in homering as a bat that's 4K. They can both go 0-for-3 or 3 strikeouts.
Right. Yeah, it's true. It's you know, I mean, no one predicted Ervin Santana to pitch a full game shutout last night. Let's be clear about that.
You want to know who played Ervin last night? Ben Joyce.
What? Yeah. Did he really?
Tossed him in a tournament last night. His line put up like 195. Ervin went nuts last night.
Yeah, he did. And you know what? That was actually the smart spot to go back to him, because everyone was terrified, including me, after his start against the Colorado, which was a disaster. That guy is pitching so well, just not allowing any serious contact.
I'm telling you, he is trying to fit a Cy Young career into one season.
That's the headline on ESPN. Should Ervin Santana be in consideration for the Cy Young? It's like, okay. Can we please not be so sensational?
Yeah, my goodness.
Give me a break. There is a guy named Chris Sale. I'm not sure if you've watched him pitch.
Yeah, he's been better than someone named Clayton Kershaw this year too. So,
yeah, exactly. All right. And speaking of which, let's talk about this dude, Chris Sale. It's an obvious spot, and it's a spot that you don't necessarily want to fade, because it's really ideal. He's got Texas here. But I really want to stress how much you want this guy. 38% K rate, only a 5% walk rate, a 2.1 Sierra, 2.2 XFIP. We just saw last night, and a dominant lefty against a mediocre opponent, Kershaw versus St. Louis. What does he do? He goes out there, he throws 10s Ks, he spins a gem. It's gonna happen again tonight. Sale has had double-digit Ks in each of his last three games. He just threw 10 against the A's. And Texas is right next to the A's at a 25% strikeout rate to right-handers, but they also have a lower WRC+ and a lower hard contact rate. Honestly, there's no reason that he's not going to be able to dice these guys up. His swinging strike rate was as high as 18% last game. So for me, it's Chris Sale, and then I'll figure out the rest of it. But it's just unbelievable how dominant he's been.
Yeah, you said it. This man has been a strikeout machine. He's really been untouchable this year. And there were so many rumbles last season in the first half about how he was falling off. He was regressing when he was still in Chicago. And I mean, he has put all that to rest and more this year. He's by far and away the AL Cy Young this year.
Yeah, I mean, no question. I mean, now fatigue might set in. Who knows? He might get nicked up or something like that. But
yeah,
if I'm putting my vote in now, it's got to be.
Yeah. Oh, agreed. I mean, I'm all aboard you with Chris Sale all day. Lock him in. Figure out your bets later when lineups come out. But obviously, there are going to be people that want to pivot, which happens every slate, and there is actually one option, Luis Severino of the New York Yankees, who I would consider to be quite an elite pivot tonight. There isn't a lot to dislike in this matchup, aside from the Yankees bullpen, who last night blew Jordan Montgomery's gem. I mean, they blew one of Luis Severino's gems earlier this year. I mean, they've been struggling, but aside from that, there is nothing to dislike in this matchup. Severino's been great this year. 28% K rate, 6.7% walk rate, 315 Sierra, 287 XFIP, and he's getting 11% of batters to whiff. Again, like I said, Jordan Montgomery twirled the gem last night, 6.2 innings of one-run ball until the bullpen imploded. And I fully expect Luis Severino to top that tonight. Much better and much more experienced pitcher. Kansas City, although they have a good amount of lefties in their lineup, they still just can't hit. righties. They sit 27th in WOBA at 295, 22nd in ISO at 150, and they have a 21.4% K rate. Again, I'm all about Chris Sale tonight, in cash especially, but I definitely expect Luis Severino to dig into Sale's ownership quite a bit. And at least in my opinion, from a strikeout standpoint, I think he could rival him tonight. Maybe get 2 to 3 less, but I don't think 8 or 9 Ks is out of the question as long as he keeps his pitch count down.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, he has done some good work. I mean, his last start against Kansas City was, I'm trying to remember what he did there. Let's see what he had. What did he have his last time out against Kansas City? He had another good game, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm going to FanDuel right now. I think that was the...
Oh, you know what? He didn't pitch that series. I'm sorry. He didn't pitch that series.
Oh, I'm thinking of Jason Vargas. Not Jason Vargas. Michael Pineda. My God, my head's everywhere.
He was the only Yankees pitcher who didn't pitch that series. Okay, so... I mean, that's been a nice point of reference for all these Yankee pitchers because this series just happened. But yeah, man, you add that K rate to a 56% ground ball rate and a 13% fly ball rate for Severino, you're going to limit the damage that ballpark does, you know? I mean, keeping the ball down, keeping the ball out of the air, not letting a bad team who, you know, more or less last night when the bullpen came in, the only way they got in that game was just by solo dinger after solo dinger. You know, they just kept dinging them out, and they got pretty lucky with that, you know, small ballpark. So Severino should be able to take care of business, though, in this one. I think if you're going to pivot, I have interest in Kyle Hendricks tonight, and I think part of that starts for me with the fact that Chicago has some of the best pitchers weather on the slate. You know, if you're looking at this is the time of year to start to pay attention to the weather advantage, because parts of the country are going to be really warm, parts of the country are going to be still chilly, cold. It's 50 degrees in Chicago, and the wind is blowing in at 15 degrees, which is like ideal for pitchers right now, especially for a righty like Hendricks, because it's blowing in from left field. It's blowing in from left. He seems to be locating now. He's eliminating that walk problem. He's calming down where, you know, his location was kind of off earlier in the year. His walk rate is back down to 7%, 8% in the last two games. BABIP has come back down, which is, you know, kind of where he makes, you know, his bread and butter. He locates the ball. He doesn't give up walks. He doesn't give up hits. Below 250 in the last two games. Swinging strike rate up in the last two games, 10%, then 14%. You know, he has been better on the road than at home this year. But that also is partially because he's had some blow-up games at home this year. San Francisco just doesn't scare me. I loved Lester last night. I got scared because of the rain. Lester destroyed him. You add to that the weather, 53 degrees, wind in. Right-handed pitchers we got to take advantage of this. And the San Francisco only has a 28% hard contact rate and a 20% K rate in a league worst 72 WRC plus against right-handers.
Yeah, you got to like that play. And you have to also think that the Cubs offense is going to be able to get to Matt Moore. We'll talk about that later. But that offense should be able to do more than enough to get him in line for a W as well, which is an extra 6 points right there.
Yeah. All right, talk to me about Rich Hill, because this St. Louis offense doesn't really scare me. It's interesting.
Yeah, Rich Hill, I mean, he has had so many problems lately with blisters, which seems like a minute problem to many listeners maybe, but I mean, for a pitcher, you got to imagine that's extremely hard to deal with, and that's been his Achilles. That's been his only problem the last 2 years has been blisters. It has not been his play. So because of that, he's only made 3 appearances this season. But in those brief appearances, and I mean they're brief, he went 5 innings his first game. I want to say he only lasted 2 or 3 before he got yanked because of a blister in his second game, and he went 5 innings in his return. So they've been brief, but he's been serviceable. He hasn't been elite like he was last season, but again, he's been a usable pitcher. This season, he's got a 24.5% K rate, 405 Sierra. But get this. This is just so odd to me. He's left 100% of runners that have reached base on base. Has not allowed a base runner to score this season.
Wow.
So every run he's given up has been from the long ball, which some can find somewhat alarming. But again, he's doing a good job of run prevention when runners get on base. If you want to extend your research to last season, because he's had such a brief appearance this season, he posted a 29.4% K rate, 3.29 Sierra, 3.36 xFIP, and only allowed 28.3% hard contact. So there could still be some gas left in the tank. What you mentioned is that the Cardinals are not a scary team. You think with the departure of lefty Matt Adams, they may hit lefties a little better if they replace him with a righty, but they just don't. They're 26th in WOBA at 285, 26th in ISO at 116, and hold the 8th highest K rate in the league at 23.2%. I obviously don't expect Rich Hill to do what Clayton Kershaw did last night, because I don't expect anybody to do what Kershaw does, but I still expect a quality start. 6-7 Ks is not out of the question tonight.
Yeah, I hear that. And, you know, I think the only hesitation that I have is that how many innings are we going to get out of him?
That's my one concern.
That's it. I mean, that's what you worry, because LA has shown they are fine with yanking their starters. You know, they do it with Urias. They do it with Ryu. They do it with who's the other guy? Maeda. Like, they'll do it with everybody, except for Kershaw.
Yeah.
Which, exactly. I mean, when Kershaw can go out and throw 7 or 8 innings for you and be perfectly healthy every single time, you give your bullpen that much rest, it makes sense that your middle relievers get an extra day off. And then, you know, like you just use them as, you know, 2-3 inning guys fill-ins. I don't know. I mean, yeah, he's got a nasty curve in St. Louis. The only guy that I'm worried about is Matt Carpenter, and Carpenter's kind of ice cold right now. So I have no problem with Rich Hill here, as long as I feel like he can get me 6 innings. If he can get me 6 innings, that is amazing. But we'll see. We'll see.
Agreed.
I think if you really, really want to take some risks, I'm interested in Erasmo Ramirez of the Rays. And this is a lot. I was writing up the Rays. My Rays bias has really come through in this series against LA. And it didn't work out last night, because I said Shoemaker. I don't believe in Shoemaker, but he did 6 innings, 6 Ks, fine, whatever. He's not that good. I don't think he's that good. Whatever. I'm going to plant my flag on Shoemaker being not that good. Anyway. But Ramirez, K rate of 20%, walk rate of 4%, swinging strike rate of 10.5%, 54% ground ball rate right now, and an xFIP of 3.4 and 3.3. I mean, these numbers are excellent, you know, average for the most part, but like really good in a lot of spots. Mm-hmm. His most recent start was against the Yankees. He went 5 innings. He got 5 Ks. He gave up 2 runs and 1 walk. That's pretty good. I mean, if you're comparing him to Rich Hill, like, it's very similar. Maybe lower K upside, obviously. But the Yankees hit right-handed pitching way better than the Angels do, that's for sure. 30 points maybe from Ramirez here. Possibly a quality start if they let him get into the 6th. And I like the potential of a W against Nolasco, because I think Nolasco is going to really struggle with the Rays' bats tonight. So, this is, of course, if you want to get cute. I think if you want to get cute, Erasmo is interesting.
Yeah, I do like him. Again, you say if you want to get cute, and I feel like that's something people will probably stray away from on this slate, because the options are so thin. But I love Erasmo Ramirez if that's the case. And I also, he's gotten shelled this year, but I don't mind Robert Gsellman from the Mets. The Mets last night were able to put up a whole lot of run support against Yulis Chachin, who up until last night has been ace-like. So you got to think their offense is feeling good, get him a W. But again, he hasn't been good, but his peripherals and some of his numbers from last season kind of indicate that he has some positive regression coming his way. He's got a 418 Sierra and a 57% ground ball rate this season, which are pretty good numbers, especially for a number 4 pitcher. And he's, 21, 22 years old?
Yep.
And last season in his rookie year, he had a 3.76 ERA, 22.7% K rate, 0.2 home runs allowed per nine, and only a 28% hard contact percentage. So he's definitely shown that he has the ability, not necessarily to dominate, but to hold his own, to be a serviceable starter. And there's really no better way to get back on track than a matchup with the Padres. They currently rank 26th in WOBA against righties at 296, 18th in ISO at 166, which you would like a little lower, but then that's really negated by the fact that they strike out at a 25% clip against righties, which is second highest in the league behind the Milwaukee Brewers. Again, I'm not saying Gesellman is an elite tournament play. I'm not saying he's cash viable, but if you're looking at this pitching crop and how thin it is, he definitely looks like a cheap option that is targetable tonight if you are one of the players on FanDuel and Draft, especially on DraftKings. He's a viable, I think he's a risky but viable starting pitcher too. But if on FanDuel you are one of the players that likes to stack the bats night in, night out, I don't mind Robert Gesellman tonight against the Padres.
Yeah, and you know what? Even last night, the Padres made Matt Harvey look good again. I mean,
and he's been terrible.
Matt Harvey's numbers this year are so bad, and you know, Harvey was able to get, you know, I'm looking for the numbers right now. Harvey goes five innings, gets six Ks, two earned runs. I mean,
yeah, and that's
great.
And that's coming from a Matt Harvey. Who's been brutal this year too. I mean,
wow, he's been brutal. And you compare him to his numbers compared to Gesellman aren't even close. Gesellman has been way better.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. People, I can't remember what article I was reading. I think it was the Grind Down and Rotor Grinders last night. But they kept saying that people are enticed by Matt Harvey's name against the Padres, and they think, oh, his peripherals are probably okay. There's some positive regression coming. They're terrible.
Yeah, like, they're bad.
Not
they're
really good bad. This year.
People are hitting the hell out of Matt Harvey. But here's the thing that I really like. Okay, so looking at the Casey Bogeslaw's barrel chart.
Yep.
Gesellman has an ERA minus barrel FIP of positive 2.3, which means his ERA is inflated compared to his barrel FIP. He's only got a 3.7 barrel rate, which is elite. I mean, that's like one of the better numbers on the slate. So, you know, if he can avoid the walks and he can, you know, maybe notch a couple extra Ks, I think Gesellman is an interesting arm that, you know, people may overlook. But, you know, then again, nobody ever overlooks the K upside that comes with the Padres.
Yeah, exactly. I expect him to get, I'd say if I'm looking at tournaments, he'll get around 5 to 8% ownership just because of the Padres.
Yeah. People know to stack against their exactly. Pitch against the Padres. All right, let's talk sticks here, Joe. I think it starts with the Yankees for me tonight. They're getting Jason Hamill, and Jason Hamill has just been really bad, really, really bad. Here's a kind of mind-blowing number. Hamill leads the slate with a batted ball distance of 248 in the last 15 games and a fly ball rate of 50%. That's fine in Kauffman Stadium. You might get away with a couple balls there in Kauffman. You're not going to get away with that in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, good.
He's not striking out anybody. He's walking people at an 11% K or an 11% rate. It's just going to be a disaster. And here it gets worse. Okay, so you'd expect like righty righty splits, right? Well, maybe he'll be serviceable against this righty heavy lineup. Nope. He's a reverse splits guy. He gives up a full 2 home runs per nine to right-handed bats. He's got a depressed K rate and an even elevated walk rate. His walk rate eclipses his K rate when he's up against righties. His hard contact and fly ball rate are elevated, though, against left-handed bats. So Brett Gardner at leadoff is a problem. You know, it starts with me for Brett Gardner. He's been one of the most effective leadoff hitters in baseball to this point. He's batting a 395 WOBA. ISO of 237 against righties, 42% hard contact, 39% fly ball rate. The old man is getting it done. And, you know, it starts with him in the leadoff spot. Give me Judge, give me Hicks, give me Sanchez, however they fill out 1 through 5. I'm in. Holiday, of course, we know is in there as well. There's power up and down the lineup too, so you can look to 6 and 7 if you want to. Once we find out what this lineup looks like, and, you know, the nice thing is the Yankees have been kind of cold. So, you know, I don't think you're going to get depressed ownership, but you're going to get them at a lower price than what you were paying earlier this season. You know, Holiday at 3-2 is a really good price. Ellsbury at 3-2. You know, Chase Headley at 2-7. If he's up in that 6 or 7 spot, I could see myself getting a little Chase Headley for salary relief. And Gary Sanchez is never cheap, but I think that's always a good way to differentiate your lineups, paying up for catcher.
Yeah.
Because, like, Chris Hermann last night was owned at 50%. It was like, good gracious.
He dingered, too, of course.
What?
He home run. He hit a home run, too, which just irritated the hell out of me.
I know.
My God.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
That's true. I love the Yankees. I mean, the more and more I see Jason Hamill pitch this year, the more and more I think that last year was really just an outlier year where he was much more dominant than he should have been, backed up by a great offense. And then Gary Sanchez's reverse splits are just astronomically insane. The Yankees are my favorite stack tonight. I completely agree with you there. My 1A is definitely the Houston Astros, which I know is your team.
favorite team in baseball, even though they've kind of been burning me lately.
They burned the hell out of me last night. I played Jose Altuve and Carlos Beltran. They both put up a goose. They were like two of the three players in the lineup that didn't have a hit. But they, again, like we said, somewhat disappointing. But I have no problem in going right back to the well tonight against a lefty, Daniel Norris, who's given up 4 earned runs in back-to-back starts. He's not necessarily a gas can pitcher, but in the right matchup, I definitely think he can be. When a pitcher surrenders a 46.4% hard hit rate against right-handed hitters and walks 10% of batters while allowing a 354 wOBA, that's not good. And those are not numbers you want to carry into a matchup with a team like the Astros, who has so many dominant hard-hitting righties. The ones I'm looking at most, I mean, Carlos Correa's, you got to keep an eye on him. He's still day-to-day. I want to say it was with an illness. Did not play yesterday. I'm probably going to avoid him today. But Jose Altuve, who carries a 357 wOBA, 273 ISO this year against lefties. George Springer, 341 wOBA, 282 ISO. Evan Gattis, 370 wOBA, 278 ISO. And my personal favorite, this man has come out of nowhere this year. Marwin Gonzalez has a 386 wOBA and 321 ISO against lefties this season. All four of those batters have at least a 273 ISO against lefties. Some players struggle to get a 273 wOBA against anybody. These players are crushing the ball against lefties. I think this game in general is going to be pretty high scoring. I want to say the over-under is at 9.5 right now. I can definitely see it eclipsing that. And as much as I go to Houston and they burn me, I just got this gut feeling that they are going to explode tonight.
Yeah, the other guy, don't sleep on my man Yuli Gurriel.
That's the person I thought you were going to say.
I mean, if he's still in that six hole, he dingered last night. And I had him. The problem is you have to decide between him and Marwin. You know, and it kind of just depends on order. I think you can go to Marwin. Go to Marwin. The only guy that I'm not terribly interested in right now is Alex Bregman, who just is in that sophomore slump for sure. He's just struggling. I think Yuli is interesting. Marwin's interesting. I have no problem with these guys. I hope Correa's in there because I think that he provides a whole lot of protection for Altuve.
Oh yeah.
And the kind of protection that just Beltran doesn't really offer, because you just don't want to pitch to Carlos Correa with base runners. Because he's going to find a way to get, you know. We'll take a look at the order. I think we take a look at the order, yep. But don't sleep on these righties because there's a lot of them and there's going to be runs scored tonight against Norris. Norris is also at the bottom of this barrel chart as well, giving up a 5.5% barrel rate. with a 5.2 barrel FIP. So that's pretty terrible. And he's right next to one of the guys, a couple of the guys that we need to talk about this matchup. And I don't know necessarily. I wasn't on the Nats last night. Bregman doesn't have a ton of data, so it's kind of hard to get a read on him. Or Bergman. Is it Bergman or Bregman?
I have no idea. I want to say Bergman, but I'm not positive.
Well, he got rocked. Yeah. And Gaviglio's going out there again tonight against the Nats. And Gaviglio pitched a gem against the White Sox. Now, you're talking about the White Sox being one of the worst offenses in baseball against right-handed pitching. And you're talking about the Nats, who have some of the best, obviously, the best right-handed hitter or left-handed hitters in the big leagues. Like, I don't know how to get a read on Gaviglio because his numbers are, I think pretty serviceable. 20% K rate thus far, limiting walks as well. He's a young guy. I mean, do we think like he's a target here, or do we want to just kind of, say, all right, I'm going to let people chase the Nats and just kind of stay away, or maybe some one-offs, maybe just some Daniel Murphy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in between there. I like a couple one-offs. I mean, an inexperienced pitcher for me is always an enticing reason to look at Daniel Murphy and Bryce Harper because they know how to exploit a player. And
they're both
tearing the cover off the ball this year. Anthony Rendon's hot. But again, I mean, he had that 99-point game a couple weeks ago. People chased and he didn't do anything after it. People are going to chase the Nationals tonight.
Well, didn't Rendon double dong last night?
He did.
Yeah, I mean, and Zimmerman is still leading the league in like barrel rate.
Yeah, I mean, these players are tearing the cover off the ball. I just personally, I don't know if I'm on board with a full on stack, but I don't mind a mini stack in tournaments or even in cash, and a one off here or there. The one problem I have with the Nats is how expensive they are.
Yeah, they are expensive. They are. I mean, it's like, do you want to do Nats or do you want to do Yankees?
Yeah. And then if you want Bryce Harper, it's going to be very hard to hit to fit him and Chris Sale.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I mean, the more approachable price points are always Rendon, Worth, and Zimmerman, which, is fine. I mean, you got to think that you're getting exposure to an offense that could click. The opposite side is interesting to me, too. I mean, the Seattle just has so many lefties, and Roark kind of got exposed in his last outing here. The numbers are serviceable, 20% K rate, 10% walk rate. But, like, I don't know how much I want to go back to Roark chasing that blow-up game. Like, I don't think he's good, but I don't necessarily think he's this bad. Like, I mean, the Pirates got to him, of course. That's not good. Where are you at with Seattle in this matchup?
I don't mind Seattle. I think this is a perfect way to leverage a whole lot of ownership, especially with someone like Robbie Cano, who's fresh off the deal. No one, I'm telling you, absolutely nobody is going to look at Robbie Cano tonight. I don't think anyone's going to look at the Mariners in general. Kyle Seager, a lefty, he's been disappointing. Like you said, Tanner Roark blew up against the Pirates, but he's not a great pitcher, but he's not a bad pitcher either. He's in that gray area of DFS where you don't necessarily use him, but you don't necessarily target against him. So I think that the Seattle right now is a situation I'll likely avoid unless I might look Robbie Cano's way in a tournament just to leverage some ownership.
Yeah, they're pretty average. I'm looking at their batted ball data against righties. They're pretty average. But they're right there in their averageness with Colorado, who has, Colorado and Chicago, who have been blowing up right-handed pitching. So, I don't know. Seattle, I think there's leverage there. I think you're right. I don't think people will look at them. But it's interesting for sure. Yeah. All right, if we're moving on to – oh, wait, we forgot to talk about – we got to talk about – I made a note here, but we didn't talk about it. Cubs righties versus Matt Moore. I mean, are we all in here? What are we doing?
If there's one Cubs player I am all in tonight, and I think now that I look at his splits against righties – or lefties, excuse me, I'm going to do what I can to fit Chris Bryant in with Chris Sale. Against lefties this season, Chris Bryant holds a 541 WOBA, 500 ISO, 45.8% hard contact percentage, and a 238 WRC plus.
Good gracious.
That is insane.
Oh my God.
Like, that makes me think he's like a must play. And that means I'm going to have like three players in my line minimum priced.
Yeah, I know. That's the hard part. And this is why people are going to go down and pay for, because you see Chris Bryant in this matchup, you're going to go down and you're going to pay for a Robert Gsellman or a Kyle Hendricks or a Rich Hill or something like that, which is why Chris Sale is all the more interesting. But yeah, you're right. I'm looking at the numbers on Matt Moore. He leads the slate right now with a 7.6% barrel rate and only a 20% K rate. I mean, the guy's not getting it done. He absolutely has a target on his back. And I think the nice thing is there's also righties in this Cubs lineup that you can use that are pretty affordable. I mean, we could see Ian Happ back out there. We could see Alberto Almora out there because the defense is just filthy, which, they've been platooning Almora and Schwarber. So I think Almora will probably be back up in that, two hole basically where Schwarber and him is. And I mean, did you see that? By the way, did you see that catch that Almora made the other night?
I was about to bring that up. Like, my God. I mean, he covered so much ground in center.
He is so fast.
But even Schwarber, I mean, these two, Schwarber is also the most deceptively athletic person in the majors. These guys are making web gems left and right. It's awesome.
I know. Well, and, the fact that, and the fact that Madden, had the presence of mind to be like, okay, Schwarber isn't necessarily an everyday outfielder. Like, his defense is not perfect. He'll make plays. He'll throw his body at the ball. But Almora's defense is such an advantage that we need him in more regularly. And, just platoon him in the two spot. They split that job, righties and lefties. And, it's just the magic of Joe Maddon once again at work, and don't sleep on Wilson Contreras. The guy is just a stat cast machine. Like, he just smokes the ball. He has one of the highest exit velocities in the league right now. So,
I like the Cubs. I think Joe Maddon will have another glass of wine after this game.
Yeah, that's right. Him and Popovich sharing their wine. All right. If you're looking to spend down, I think that we can look at the Mets against Cozart. Now, Cozart is kind of tilting, I'm going to be honest with you, because he has terrible numbers. He has the highest walk rate on the slate, and he's second to Jeremy Hellickson, by the way, who we have to talk about now, because when I'm looking at this, I know Rockies lefties who are on fire. Blackman, Parra, and Cargo, as well as Tony Walters last night. They were at 1-3, 5-7 in that line. The four lefties were, and they just destroyed people. I mean, Charlie Blackman is absolutely on fire and completely worth paying for if you can figure out how to get him in there. But, Cargo and Parra are also kind of starting to figure it out. I think a series with the Phillies, terrible bullpen and terrible arms, like really, really has done them well. And the idea that they're not that good on the road or they're overpriced on the road because of court, it's just not completely true. They can hit right-handed pitching. I've stacked them twice in the last 2 days and they continue to hit, and they're destroying the Phillies right now, who also have the worst bullpen in the major leagues. So don't be afraid of the Rockies lefties here while I'm talking about it. But I was talking about the Mets. Cozart has an xFIP of 5.4. Here's the problem. He is matching walk rates and K rates. Can't strike out a soul. You got to love the Mets, right? It's like, oh, everything lines up. here's the issue. The dude really has a pretty solid batted ball profile. He's like almost 60-70% ground balls in some of the games that he's pitched. Against Milwaukee, he had 70% ground balls in Petco. He's limiting hard contact. He just can't get anyone out, and he can't get past the fifth inning in a bunch of games. So, I mean, how long does this guy last? You know, the other thing is he hasn't given up a home run. So you look at Michael Conforto, and you don't want to chase necessarily who double-dong last night, but, like, you don't want to chase that. You know, and Jay Bruce has kind of been cold recently. I think you can look at Lucas Duda, however, who is seeming to warm back up and back in that rotation and hitting well last night, had a really nice game, and he's super cheap. I'm a little bit cautious about the Mets, but I do like the Mets. They actually are, they have an above average walk rate and a below average K rate to right-handed pitching. They're playing well. I mean, this kind of like, you know, piecemeal fill in, you know, no, you know, the Mets, I don't know what it is. Like, they're better at home. They've shown some, like, you know, some heart here, but at the same time, they've really struggled, like, on the road. Like, they went on, it was like a 6-game losing streak on that road trip. You know, the thing that I like, though, I looked a little bit deeper, is the Mets batted ball profile. They're top five in the league at limiting their ground balls. They're right behind Oakland, Detroit, all of these teams that barrel up the ball. They actually have like a 1-to-1 ground ball to fly ball ratio, which is actually, you know, that's elite for the league. So they may be able to get to Cozart and get the ball off the ground a little bit, and force him to load the bases up with walks and, you know, get him out of there. And then you're working against the bullpen for most of the game. So I don't mind a little bit of Mets exposure. I don't know if they're my favorite compared to some of the other ones, but they are cheaper. I mean, you look at guys like, you know, not Conforto, obviously, he's 4-2, but like, you know, Jay Bruce down to 3-9, okay. Neil Walker's been playing really well, and he's only 3-2. Lucas Duda at 2-5, though, definitely stands out, and I think with the way he played last night, you should see him jump up into maybe that 5 or 6 hole. So, you know, there's definitely some guys here that I'm interested in, for salary relief and just kind of for leverage. I think that's an interesting spot to go to.
Yeah, I like it a lot. One note, you mentioned the Rockies. Did you know that they have the best record in the National League right now?
Yeah, they're really good. They're a good baseball team. I mean, like, the combination of the fact that, like, they have found a pitching rotation that is wildly inexpensive and just kind of just effective enough to keep the ball on the ground. Their outfield, and I mean, their defense is just super athletic. Like, there's not really a defensive liability in that lineup. Like, you know, Blackman and Cargo are excellent outfielders. Trevor Story coming back from the DL should be good, but clearly Amarista and Pat Valeka are serviceable at shortstop as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, Gerardo Parra is a Gold Glove winner. What I've noticed, Greg Holland, he's 19-for-19 on saves, and he's pitching in Coors. I mean, I want to say 2 runs all year.
I don't know what it is, but it's really, really impressive the way that they just kind of have embraced the Coors thing. And they're like, listen, we're going to get guys who hit the hell out of the ball, but are also really, really, really fast.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we're going to get pitchers who keep the ball down in the zone. That's it.
Agreed. And they're always, even on the road, I love stacking the Rockies. One team I like stacking more than the Rockies, though, is the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Usually, okay, it's weird because we're talking about grout stacks, and you never, ever, ever hear Boston in a grout stack because, I mean, you got Mookie Betts, who's above 4K, Benintendi's above 3.5. As opposed to who I usually stack with the Red Sox, I'm actually looking at their righties who you don't usually stack. And I'll name them in a little bit, but first, I want to cover their matchup, Martin Perez. He's one of those pitchers this season whose base statistics look good on the surface, but they don't necessarily correlate with his peripherals. And I feel like there's been a lot of pitchers like that this year. It's getting really frustrating. He's got a 3.71 ERA, but then he's got a 4.89 Sierra, only striking out 16% of batters, K
giving up 36% hard contact, 1.57 whip. He's only produced a 6.6% swinging strike rate. With all those peripherals, that just does not add up to a 3.71 ERA. I definitely sent some regression on the way. The Red Sox, on the other hand, mash all pitching. But when I'm looking at my stacks today, I'm looking at building around Chris Sale or possibly Luis Severino. You need some affordable bats. And the Red Sox actually have some affordable righties that destroy left-handed pitching. And then obviously Mookie Betts, who I will likely not fit in, but he's a great play tonight. Yeah. The three I'm looking at are Hanley Ramirez. He's the most expensive at 3,600. 344 WOBA, 200 ISO. He always comes with extremely depressed ownership too. I don't know why people still view him as washed up, injury plagued, but he never garners high ownership. So there's ownership leverage in Hanley. Sandy Leona, catcher for 2,500 if he's in the lineup. He has a 431 WOBA, 190 ISO against lefties this season. And Chris Young, he's 2,500 in the outfield. He's a career 365 WOBA, 212 ISO hitter against lefties. He typically plays against lefties as he platoons in the outfield. Obviously, the Red Sox are a very deep offense that you can tinker a lot with. Because I left out a lot of these all-stars. Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, Benintendi, Dustin Pedroia. All of them, while some of them might not hold the platoon advantage, they are very, very capable Major League Baseball players. A bit more expensive, but this is a team that I view to be the most flexible offense tonight and in general, really. And you can stack them in so many different ways. But what I want to highlight is how nice their cheap and affordable bats look tonight.
Joe?
Yep.
Are you there?
Yep.
Sorry. I thought for a second the recording cut out. I was looking at Bogaerts last night. Dude scored four runs.
Yeah.
Three ribbies. Three
Ben
hits.
Joyce played him. Like this kid played Irvin Santana, Xander Bogaerts, and stacked the Royals and put up 200.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Ben. No, it's kind of like, you know, and I was kind of like, because Andrew Cashner hadn't gotten blown up yet. We had been stacking against him forever. And he finally last night, everything caught up with him. The whole house of cards tumbled down. You know, I wish I had stayed, you know, faithful to my stacking against Cashner, but I didn't. But, you know, I don't think they hit one home run last night.
But I don't think either, but they just get on base.
They get on base. They don't strike out. They're kind of like, you know, they're very similar to Houston. And once they start rolling, like there's not a lot of protection in that lineup. You don't really want to pitch to anyone. Mm-hmm. There is some salary relief. It looks like they called up Sam Travis.
I did see that minimum price too.
Yeah, Mitch Moreland's injury. And Devin Marrero was in there as well. He's interesting. I don't know. Let's see what the lineup looks like. Let's see what we get. You could get an interesting lineup for cheap against Martin Perez, who, you know, you mentioned it. He's got some regression coming, you know, and he is you're not going to do well with a 16% K rate against the Red Sox, who don't strike out anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we can definitely look at stacking against Perez. All right, if you want to pivot a little bit, there's a couple spots, and I don't know necessarily this is a pivot. You know, Tampa Bay is obviously in play here. Nolasco, I keep talking about Tampa Bay because I think that you have to always consider them with the way that they hit the ball. Their hard hit rate is just, you know, elite. And they're getting Nolasco, okay? And Nolasco is not that good. We're talking about he has a decent K rate. Yes, he has a decent walk rate. It's pretty average when you go through all of that data, okay? But he allows 40% hard contact and a 44% fly ball rate. He also has he's ahead of Matt Moore. in barrel rate at 7.8. He allows us with the highest barrel rate on the slate. I mean, that's Jordan Zimmerman bad, guys. So, you know, once you unpack this a little bit, I think people look at Ricky Nolasco and they see his K rate and stuff and they're like, oh, he should be okay. No, I mean, he struggles too with lefties. He's terrible against lefties. He's got a depressed K rate. He's got an elevated walk rate, and his xFIP goes up to 5.2 against lefties. Interestingly enough, though, you add to that, dude gives up more hard contact to right-handed bats, and you've got Evan Longoria batting in the four spot or three spot at 2.8. That's Evan Longoria. I mean, now, he's not hitting the ball out of the park that often, but we know very well that Evan Longoria, even, you know, at his advanced age, very capable of stringing together a number of base hits, number of RBIs, especially with runners in scoring position. That's just kind of what he does for this offense. Like, he's always a threat. I don't mind the Rays 1-4. Dickerson is pretty obvious. The news is out. Kiermaier is cheap at 2.7, though. You combine the prices there, you get a 1-2 bat for, you know, an average price of like 3.5K, which is great. And then Longoria at 2.8 and Logan Morrison at 3.7. So again, you have these, like, you know, two ding home run hitters in the one and the four spot in Dickerson and Morrison, and then two kind of serviceable on base guys in Kiermaier and Longoria. I like that a lot. You know, I think that that's a very, 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 very good lineup. The interesting thing to me is that Vegas has this as a pick'em right now, which means that they, for whatever reason, they don't quite know what to make of it. But they're saying they were going to get 8.5 runs in Tropicana Field, which is a pretty high total for what is one of better pitchers' parks on the slate. So, you know, that tells you something about what they think of Ricky Nolasco. So I don't mind the Rays. Obviously, anyone who listens to this show, you're probably going to be like, okay, Sean's going to talk about the Rays and the Astros. What else is he going to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, the Rays are – these batters have been playing out of their minds this year. I mean, Kiermaier was a little disappointed, but, like, who at the beginning of the year, one, thought we'd see Corey Dickerson above 4K and Logan Morrison even close to 3.7?
I know.
I mean, these guys are playing well, and you highlighted Ricky Nolasco's struggles. Like, they're in a sneaky good spot tonight. And I feel like they never garner high ownership either, ever.
No, they don't. They don't. And they're never sexy.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, this is a good spot for them for sure.
I agree. The other stack that I like today is the Detroit Tigers. You know what? Here, so Sean talks about the Rays, the Astros, and Tigers against a righty. Those are the three things you talk about. And again, I'm bringing up Tigers against a righty. There was nothing wrong with playing Lance McCullers yesterday against the Detroit Tigers. Lance McCullers is an exception. Charlie Morton is not Lance McCullers.
No.
I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat this. Like, Morton's been impressive this year, yeah. Again, not Lance McCullers. He's been impressive. I don't expect it to last. He does have a 3.61 Sierra, which is indicative of how he's been playing. He's been playing well, but he's giving up 38% hard contact and walking almost four batters per nine innings. I just don't see those numbers with the high hard hit rate and the high walk rate. I don't see that correlating with a low Sierra all year long. It's gonna implode eventually. He has struggled a lot with righties this season. Too bad there's so many of them in the MLB. So that another reason regression's coming. And the Tigers are probably the most right-handed heavy lineup in the league, typically eight or nine deep. He allows a 3.75 wOBA, 35% hard hit rate to righties. For this stack, I'm looking at for this GPP stack, keep in mind, I looked at players who simply have insane hard contact against righties, just to show you the reverse splits of this Tigers lineup. J.D. Martinez this season, 60.9% hard contact. Miguel Cabrera, 48.6%. Justin Upton, 41.2%, and lefty Tyler Collins, 40.3%, all hard hit rates against righties. Ian Kinsler, I looked at him. He was up there at like 36, 37 as well. Again, these players crush righties. I don't envision them being high-owned tonight because of how many other elite stacks there are in the Yankees, the Astros, the Red Sox, the Rays even. I don't expect, especially those that I listed, to be that high-owned. So if you really want to go get yourself some ownership leverage, I think this is a great way to do it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, too. And you've got Nick Castellanos up here on the top of the StatCast leaderboard.
Yep.
You know, you've got, I think that, where is this? Oh, barrels per plate appearance. Where is, Nick Castellanos, top 20 again. Miguel Cabrera, top 25. James McCann, top 25. I mean, it's just like, it's top 30. Charlie Morton, I'm looking at his game logs. There's going to be a lot of people who, you know, like what Morton has done, and the K rate is definitely there. But let's look at some of the recent performances. You know, he went out and in his last three games, okay, Atlanta, he lasted five innings, gave up three runs. Then he went to New York, he lasted four innings, gave up four earned runs and one dinger. Okay, now he did get 10 Ks in that time, which is really, really impressive. Okay, but at this, then he goes to Cleveland in his most recent start, five innings, four earned runs, three of which are dingers, and two walks. So I think you're probably right in feeling like maybe there's a little bit of regression coming here. You know, his xFIP has, you know, it's the strikeouts that you love. Right. Charlie Morton has massive strikeout upside. Yeah. The problem is what we saw was even with a guy like McCullers last night, the Detroit just has great plate discipline. Like they got him out of the game in the fifth inning because they just were working counts. They were making contact. They kept getting base runners, you know, but, you know, McCullers was able to get himself out of the jam and then eventually let the bullpen take over in the fifth. You know, is Morton going to be able to limit the damage before he comes out in the fifth? That's a complicated idea. The one issue that I do want to raise is the bullpen for the Astros is good.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're like top two in the league right now in xFIP with a 31% K rate. So, you know. Maybe it's one-offs to get a little bit of leverage here. I think, you know, obviously you can always look at J.D. Martinez to go yard. Maybe James McCann as a cheap catcher. Alex Avila has also been hitting the ball really well against righties. So, I'm always looking for a moment to play the Tigers, and I don't mind this spot because they're definitely going to be low-owned. How much Tigers do you want? But wow, Nick Castellanos is 2.8.
What?
That's insane. He's okay, 2.8. So, yes.
What?
Okay. $2,800 for Nick Castellanos. I mean, he hasn't been doing anything, but like, give me a break.
So he's 2.8. Tyler Collins is 2.3. So you could easily stack Nick Castellanos and Tyler Collins as a tournament stack and fit Chris Sale just fine. The upside there is huge.
Yeah, and Justin Upton at 3K too. I mean, Justin Upton can hit righties as well. That's a pretty cheap stack. If you get a good lineup where you get like Castellanos, Collins at Upton and like, you know, 2-5-6, something like that, that's very interesting.
A lot of home run upside right there.
Yeah, there is. Upton can definitely leave the yard. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's interesting. All right, so a couple one-offs we've got to talk about. You know, I feel bad that I didn't talk about this, but we had a lot of notes. But this Pittsburgh-Atlanta game is going to be a bloodbath. And it is – who are our pitchers here in Pittsburgh and Atlanta? Trevor Williams and Julio Teheran. Vegas is saying this is a 9.5 total. This is not Chase Field, guys. This is going to be a disaster. Williams is very, very bad against lefties. Matt Adams, Ender Inciarte, boom. Matt Adams has are the Cardinals kicking themselves yet? The guy just plays every day and he's hit a home run in back-to-back days. Like they couldn't find a spot for Matt Adams anywhere in that fucking lineup. Give me a break.
He was so – I can't remember where I read a quote from him, but he was so happy to be in Atlanta. to play every day. Like, he was so happy, and that, I mean, you got to think the morale there plays a big role in his play.
Yes. I mean, he's a baseball player. He's still only 27, 28 years old. Like, get him in the everyday lineup. And you know what? You get a lefty with power on the cheap to replace Freddie Freeman for 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. He's already basically got won you two games by hitting dingers late in both of those games. I mean, it's like he's already paid off. They're already thrilled about it. And it has to help the rest of the team around him, too, basically be like, we got another guy who can hit homers. This is great. So good for the Braves. Listen, Markakis is not worth the price at 2.9. He's just nothing right now. But Inciarte, very, very nice, cheap bat. Brandon Phillips at 2.7 is fine as a base runner. And Matt Adams at 2.4 is one of my cheap favorites there. You know, Trevor Williams, just not a great pitcher. We're talking about, let me see this. He's some absurd, 14% K rate. That's just no good. Against Atlanta here at home. And then in the opposite side, Tejeron is just like, he's just brutal. Yeah. The Pirates offense is no good, but like Tejeron is got a 16% K rate, a 10% walk rate, and a 5% barrel rate right now. Barrel FIP of 5.4. Like, he just can't get it done. So on the Pirates side of things, you got to look at some of these lefties. Josh Bell, it obviously has a lot of cheap home run upside there at first base. So you never really know when he's going to do it, but he can do it. So Josh Bell is interesting to me for some salary relief.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, usually you target lefties versus Tejeron, but he has been brutal this year. Like, his strikeout rate is way down, barrel rate's up. Like, he was one of those players, I want to say 2-3 years ago, even last year, there was so much promise around him, and I really don't know what happened. I don't know. But you mentioned, I've got a couple one-offs. You mentioned the Rays earlier, Corey Dickerson. He's 4-1, but I mean, the dude is the hottest player in baseball right now. He is a great one-off, in my opinion, if you don't want to stack the Rays. And we also talked about the Rockies, but I don't know. I've got... Manu gives me a lot of shit for this. We've got a group chat, but he says I just ride Carlos Gonzalez. I feel for the man. Like, he is underappreciated, disrespected, and underpriced by FanDuel. I mean, he is a perennial all-star, crushes right-handed pitching. He's been red hot lately, two more hits last night. He's still only 3-2. That's an affordable all-star outfielder you can get with an ace pitcher. So,
yeah. Yeah, no, it's true, because you know what? Here's the other thing. Helixson had a nice outing last time, right? He had a nice game against Pittsburgh. Okay, this is not Pittsburgh, right? Pittsburgh has one of the lowest hard hit rates and barrel rates in baseball. And, you know, these lefties for Colorado are coming alive. You know, if it's just Charlie Blackmon, you know, moving the base paths, it's Charlie Blackmon is doing great work. And again, Tony Walters, one of my favorite punt catchers, especially against a righty right now. He's just doing exactly what you want for almost a min price catcher. I mean, listen to the last six games for Walters since the Minnesota series. 12 points, 6 points, 9 points, 9 points, 12 points, 9 points. I mean, if you can pay almost min price for your catcher who's not in the bottom of the order in a hitter's ballpark like this, and you're going to get 9 points out of him every time, you're not going to get a goose egg, I'll take it. Yeah. Obviously, there's not a ton of power upside there, but I will take 9 points every time for my catcher, especially if he's part of my stack. I'm into the Rockies for sure.
Yeah, agreed.
I think, you know, I don't really see any other spots where we have one-offs. I think we covered everything. I don't really know how to approach this Dodgers game, to be honest with you. I would love to say we're going Dodgers lefties, but they disappointed last night against Lance Lynn, and they should have smoked Lance Lynn.
Yeah, I'm a little butthurt about that. I mean, I had Grundahl who homered, which helped negate my tilt from fading Chris Herman, but I feel like Corey Seager has just, I don't know, at least every time I played him this year, he's really pissed me off against a righty.
There's some people who are talking about how Seager's just hurt, and he's just kind of a little bit banged up and he needs more rest. Yeah. You know, you add to that, Jock Peterson just got injured last night in a collision. So, I mean, I think you could get an interesting lineup. You may get some cheapies. You know, if you, Logan Forsythe is back, but you know, we really only play Logan Forsythe against lefties. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I can do Dodgers. I mean, Cody Bellinger's always in play just cause he mashes, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, let's head over to FanDuel real quick. Let's see if we can throw together a lineup here. Maybe a little Chris Sale in there. Let's see what we can do for the people. I mean, where do you think, like, we're going to start with Sale. What to you is the stack that's going to give us the most salary relief?
Well, see, with Sale, whenever I look at a line with a pitcher this expensive, I usually end up with more one-offs, which kind of annoys me. But I feel like the Yankees are kind of underpriced. Like you said, Matt Holliday is only 3-2. Jacoby Ellsbury is 3-2. Then say you take Jacoby and Matt, you get a one-off in Tyler Collins at 2-3. I don't know. I mean, the Red Sox are also underpriced.
Yeah. Let's look at that. Let's do that. Let's do some Holliday and Ellsbury. Hopefully they're up in the top half of that lineup. Okay.
Is Holliday still been hitting in the three spot? Oh, he's at first base now?
Yeah, that's really nice, actually.
That is nice.
There is some cheap power at first base. That's the only thing. Like, you know, Yuli Gurriel and Marwin Gonzalez. Although Marwin is the same price. So, you know, Matt Holliday is in an equally good spot here, I think. I have some interest in the Tigers, like you said, but I'm also going to look. I'm going to look at the. Yeah, I think we look at the Red Sox. We might get Chris Young out there too. I mean,
he crushes lefties.
Yeah, I think Chris Young is interesting to me. as is Pedroia, although at second base you could definitely go cheaper than that.
Let's see. Yeah, Pedroia's 3-3.
We could do Kiermaier and Longo. That would be a nice little
piece. Yeah, Longo's what, 2-8?
2-8.
I like that.
And Kiermaier's, I think, even 2-7.
Yep, and that's a nice 2-3 right there.
Yeah, I think the pairs are actually a good way to go with a cheap, with an expensive arm, because you don't always have access to, you know, the whole lineup, because there's more expensive bats in different spots, you know.
Let's go. Got it. Okay, so then we got, let's see, we got 29.33 for catcher, second, and shortstop.
Oh, hey, by the way, well, I was going to say, you know who's just absolutely mashing the ball right now?
Oh.
Jason Hayward.
Is he really?
Yeah, he really is. His numbers of late are just insane. He basically hasn't gone hitless since he came back from injury. Problem is that he's against a lefty tonight, but Matt Moore is pretty bad. Although we could look at the Cubs, the cheapies for salary relief there. Let's see what the Cubs. There should be some cheap Cubs in the infield, like I mean, Javi. Javi can hit lefties. Addison Russell. You could go with Javi and Addison Russell there.
I don't mind that. I think Javi's been seeing more playing time lately as well.
He has. He's been in there. Actually, look at this. This is interesting. Okay. So this is great, actually. I kind of love this. I have Matt Holliday and Jacoby Ellsbury.
Yep.
You know, given that they're hopefully in the top six of that lineup, right? Mm-hmm. Holliday will. Ellsbury, maybe not. But Holliday and Ellsbury, okay. You get exposure to the Yankees offense. Longo and Kiermaier.
Yep.
Just too cheap. Javi, Addison Russell, and Almora, who we know will probably be a platoon guy in this spot. Okay.
Okay.
And then I have 3,000 left at catcher, which is, you know, like a crazy number to have left at catcher. You know, and that allows me a lot of options, maybe a Derek Norris. Tony Walters, interesting. I could also upgrade one of my outfielders, maybe.
Yeah, I like this a lot. You have a lot of flexibility.
Maybe you go, hold on, I got an idea here. What if we upgrade Holiday to Gardner? And then we punt catcher. And then we have 2,500. And guess who we got for 2,500 in there, Joe?
I see James McCann.
I was going to say James McCann.
What did you say?
I was Sandy Leon.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. So I just saw him above James McCann. I like that.
Yeah, any one of those guys is great.
I mean, so this is interesting. A lot of reliable bats in this lineup with an ace.
Yep.
There is some pop. I mean, you got Matt Holliday, Javi Baez, Longo, Sandy Leon are all more than capable of going yard.
Yep.
And you got speed too in Kiermaier and Gardner.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there's a lot here, and not to mention you've got a lot of guys in the top half of the lineup. You know, with the exception of Russell and Baez, everyone else should be in the top half of their lineup. Gardner and Holliday.
You got hitters in the outfield.
Yeah, I mean, and there's definitely some upside here. You know, yes, the strikeouts from Baez, Kiermaier worry me a little bit, but I think that there's definitely some upside to these guys. It's a really nice, and it's a great way to get Chris Sale in there. You basically are targeting the worst pitchers on the slate with some of the best offenses, the most potent offenses on the slate. Combine them with Chris Sale, boom, you got it. So this is an interesting lineup, guys. Sale, Tony Walters, Sandy Leon, whoever you want to get in there with the with your punt catcher, Matt Holliday, Javi Baez, Evan Longoria, Addison Russell, Brett Gardner, Kevin Kiermaier, and Albert Almora right there. Boom. There's a good, a really good starting place for your lineups today. So, Joe, thanks for coming on, man. Where can people find you on Twitter, my friend?
So I am on my personal Twitter, jmets34. Fantasy Forecast Twitter is at FanForecast. Again, we just merged with Forward Mile, and we've been cranking out a lot more and a lot different content. I mean, we've got DFS rankings now, which we do every day. It's just consensus rankings by everyone on our staff. So we've been getting a lot of good feedback on that, and I think you guys would like that a lot. Fantasy-forecast.com.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Check it out. Tons of good follow as well on Twitter, FanForecast on Twitter there. Joe, appreciate you coming on, man. Hey, Joe, you're heading to work next week for the Milwaukee Bucks on the job here. So, you know, we may have to switch the schedule up a little bit, but I hope you still come on for the for this Wednesday show, because it's always good. Don't worry. All right, good stuff. Thank you guys for tuning in. Follow us on Twitter. You know me, hey Mr. Kane, at FanForecast, at JMets34. Enjoy this evening. If you're playing the all-day slate, good luck, and we will see you tomorrow.